Hello and welcome to the DeMartini Show. It's presented by human behavior expert Dr. John DeMartini. You've tuned into the perfect show if you're interested in personal development and living an empowered and meaningful life. Each episode shares knowledge, principles, and practical tools that you'll be able to use to gain mind mastery and thereby master and inspire your life. Dr. DeMartini is a human behavior specialist. He's a global educator and a polymath with over 49 years of extensive research across multiple disciplines. And that makes him the perfect guide to help you to empower all areas of your life. In this episode, Dr. DeMartini reveals why you'll likely embrace criticism when you see how it's serving you and guiding you to become more authentic. Any criticism can be perceived as valuable feedback and turned into an opportunity for empowerment. A quick side note before we get started, all the links or downloads mentioned in the presentation are available for you to access in the podcast description underneath this episode. And if you're new to the show, now is the perfect time to follow the show. So get your pen and paper ready or set up your digital note taker and let's get started with Dr. DeMartini's latest presentation, Beyond Criticism. Enjoy.
Some people think that, you know, criticism is a bad thing. I don't see it as a bad thing or a good thing. I just see it as an event in life that we face and participate in. And every human being has a set of priorities, set of values that they live by, things that are most important to least important in their life. Whenever we perceive that somebody's challenging us and potentially interfering with the fulfillment of what we value most, we tend to go into our sympathetic response. And sympathetic is an autonomic response for fight or flight. We tend to withdraw because it represents a challenge, like a predator attacking us, we withdraw. It's an instinct to avoid. And when somebody supports us and gives us the impression it's going to help us get what we want, we get an impulse towards something and it activates the parasympathetic nervous system and we want to digest it and rest with it and relax. And so we have this autonomic response to things that challenge or support our values, criticism or praise, support or challenge, nice or mean, kind or cruel, positive or negative, whatever you want to put the terms to it. Anytime somebody challenges what we value, we tend to want to kind of kick it back. We'll criticize them if they do. So anytime you perceive yourself being criticized in your life, what that really means is that somehow what you're doing in their perception is challenging their values. Now, that may be that you're expecting them to do something outside their values, what's important, or you may be wanting them to do something that goes against what they want to do. And the other thing that makes people criticize is you being puffed up above them. If I walked in a room and you said to me that, oh, Dr. DeMartini, you're a lovely guy, and started praising me in some fashion. If I humbled myself below what you perceive me to be and was really humble, you'd keep lifting me up and saying praising things. But if all of a sudden I turned around and said, well, you have no idea how amazing I am and everything else, and just puffed myself up and aggrandized myself above what you perceive me to be, you'll go, huh, and you'll cut me down. So praise and reprimand, or support and challenge, or praise and criticism, or whatever, are homeostatic mechanisms to get people into fair exchange and into equilibrium. So anytime you do something that challenges somebody's value, that's an assumption of sort of a disrespect, not caring enough to find out what's important to them and help them get it. And so that's a normal response. The criticism back is trying to guide you to learn how to more effectively communicate what you value in terms of what they value, respectfully. And anytime you're arrogant, talking down to them and expecting them to live in your values, they're going to get criticism because they feel like they're not being respected again, and they feel like you're trying to get them to be somebody they can't be. So whenever you get criticism, ask these two questions. These are very good questions to ask. What do you do that's challenging their values that they'd want to criticize you? I've been involved in human behavior for teaching 49 years, and I've had people, you know, say to me, my mother always criticized me, or my father criticized me, or my best friend or my husband's critical all the time. And I hear this exaggerated, subjectively biased distortion sometimes. It's all the time, and they exaggerate how often it's happening. It's happening, no doubt, at times, but sometimes it's been turned into all the time. And then I ask them a question. So what are you doing that's challenging their values that would make them want to do that? No, they just do that. They're just critical people. No, they're not. They're human beings with a set of values that you've subjectively biased your interpretation and have a confirmation bias on how many times they've done it and a disconfirmation bias on how few times they did the opposite, praised you. And so you now have a label on them, and then you think, well, they're always criticizing you. And the reality is, whenever you're challenging their values, they're going to, because you're not respecting their and communicating in their values. And anytime you are thinking you're superior to them or puffed up or arrogant or any way puffed up in any way beyond what they think you deserve, they're going to bring you down. And them bringing you down into authenticity and leveling the playing field actually is a way of getting the communication more respectful. When you look up to somebody, you'll stop and think before you speak. When you look down on somebody, you'll speak before you think. If you look across, you'll think and speak respectfully. And so criticism is an essential component of communication that goes on in society and in relationships to try to get people into equilibrium. The second you think your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend or partner or whatever is getting an upper hand and getting cocky and getting above, you will automatically bring them back down. Pride before the fall. And criticism is an essential component to level the playing fields, to enhance the communication so there's respect again. And whenever we're puffed up, that's a persona, a facade that's not you. And what happens is when them criticizing you, getting you back down, if you interpret it wisely, they bring you back down, it's getting you back into authenticity. Criticism has a very important component in society. It can be very essential for doing it. Now, we have this fantasy and this moral hypocrisy that we're supposed to always be nice and never be mean, and always be kind and never be cruel, and always be positive and never be negative. I've never met a person that lives that way. I've heard of that ideal. Alistair McIntyre basically said that, you know, we have all these morals that people are supposed to live by, but nobody does. And it's a fantasy that you're going to get a person to be one-sided. In fact, the number one unrealistic expectation on human beings is to expect them to be one-sided people. If I said to you, you're always nice, never mean, always kind, never cruel, your own BS meter would go off and go, not really. I could think of times when I was pretty tough. If I said you're always mean and never nice, the other way, you'd also think, no, that's not it. But if I said to you, sometimes you're nice, sometimes you're mean. Sometimes you can be nice as a pussycat, sometimes mean as a tiger, you may go, yeah, that's me. We automatically know that. Our intuition is always guiding us back into that center of authenticity. And so if we get puffed up and we're challenging their values and expecting them to live in our values, they're going to be critical of us. So when they're doing that, it's feedback, and it doesn't have to be a hurt. The only reason why criticism and hurt is because you're addicted to praise. And when you're living in your highest values and you're living most meaningfully and most fulfilled, you're most objective and most resilient and adaptable to praise and reprimand. You don't get highly, enamored with praise. You don't get highly rejected by criticism. You just allow them both to occur because you need them. In fact, some of the gold medalists that I've worked with and some of the top athletes I've worked with and celebrities and things that I've gotten to work with, when they ask for criticism, they're not avoiding it. They're asking for it. They're looking for quality feedback to help them master their skill. So criticism is not a bad thing, and praise is not a good thing. Sometimes praise is a facade. And it's interesting. We can praise somebody when we're infatuated with somebody and we think they've got more positives and negatives and support more than challenge. And we're blind to the downsides and the challenges are about to happen. So both of those by themselves are incomplete. I always say praise plus reprimand. Praise plus criticism is what builds respect. You know, if you look at your own marriage, any length of time you've had it, you'll see that they praise and reprimand you and criticize you. They do both. And if you get cocky, they'll bring you down. If you get humble, they'll lift you up. I learned that when I started my professional career years ago. I noticed that when I was really puffed up and thought, wow, I'm amazing, you know, and touch me and you're going to heal kind of things. And I'd be a little exaggerated myself. I come home and my wife would nail me. I thought, what a toxic woman. What she was doing is getting me off my pedestal from my exaggerated self and bringing me back in equilibrium. And then when I'd have a really low day, I go, oh, what a day I had. Then she'd lift me up and I start thinking, that's interesting. I read this book called Toxic Relationships, and it was talking about this. And I thought, that book is trying to give people the impression you're supposed to be all positive all the time. And it's not true. And the book was misleading people into thinking that we're supposed to get a one-sided world. There are no monopoles out there. Life has both sides. And the more we're addicted to praise, the more painful the criticism. But the more we understand that criticism is trying to help us become authentic. In fact, everything that goes on in our life is attempting to get us out of our personas and masks and facades that we wear and get us back into the center where we learn how to have respectful, equitable communication with other people. So criticism is an essential component. So when somebody's criticized and asks, what am I doing that's challenging their values? And where am I puffed up? And where am I addicted to its opposite, praise? Because if it doesn't, if I get the criticism and I say, thank you for that, then I understand what it's doing. It's helping me be authentic and thank you. But if I'm seeing it as something painful and I'm wanting to avoid it, and I'm now addicted to praise, well, the addiction to praise can make you lose your identity and subordinate yourself to people you look up to who support you all the time. And you can lose your identity that way. You can subordinate. Sometimes the people we look up to and we, you know, that support our values that we become dependent on keeps us juvenilely dependent and dependent on them. And then we try to sacrifice what's important to us to try to fit into what they are. A lot of people fit into the herd instinct because of that. They're afraid of rejection. So they're trapped trying to put on a facade to fit into the group instead of stand out. When I ask people how many want to make a difference, everybody puts a hand up. How are you going to make a difference fitting in? How are you going to make a difference when everybody's, you're doing whatever it takes to get praised instead of allowing yourself to be challenged? You know, if you're not being crucified, you're probably not on purpose in life, not authentic in life, because there's going to be both supporters and challenges in your life. You need both support and challenge to grow. If you had nothing but support, you'd stay juvenile independent. If you had nothing but challenge, you become precocious and independent. You put the two together in perfect balance and you grow maximal. Maximum growth and development occurs at the border of support and challenge, praise and criticism. So I don't see one as good and bad. I think that's foolish. I see them both essential for our homeostasis and our authentic self. So I know if I'm putting myself down, I guarantee people will start lifting me up and lighten up. And if I go up above, they'll put me down. The tall poppy syndrome is a good example. You get cocky and arrogant, people knock you down. Imagine going to the medals, the Academy Awards, something like that, and somebody gets up there and they win an award and somebody says, well, about time I got that. I've deserved it for years and you finally give it to me. Walks off arrogantly. Boo, people will criticize. But if they go in there and they humble themselves and thank all the people that's helped them get where they are and minimize themselves, people will give them a standing ovation. That's nature doing its job to help people become authentic.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue with this episode.
So praise and reprimand are both essential in the journey. So anytime you sit down and get criticism, you may also want to ask this question. This comes from my Breakthrough Experience program, which signature program I've done 1,138 times around the world. And it's from the DeMartini method. So you ask this question. Okay, when they're critical of you and you see them being critical, you ask, okay, what specific trait in action do I see them doing that I dislike most? I see them displaying. Okay, verbal criticism, arrogant verbal criticism. Great. Now I go and ask myself, go to a moment, John, where and when you have displayed verbal criticism, displayed that specific trait in action to somebody in your life. And you go, okay, I verbally criticized my son. I verbally criticized my daughters. I verbally criticized my spouse, my girlfriend, later when my spouse died. I verbally criticized my staff. I verbally criticized the students. And I start listing all the places where I've done that. And I go, well, so I've done that to the same degree, quantitatively, qualitatively, as I see in them. The only reason they're reminding me and why I'm wanting to avoid this criticism is because reminding me of something I feel kind of ashamed of myself, because I'm thinking I'm not supposed to be that way, which is an illusion. And then I think I've caused some pain in other people when in fact that I've actually been leveling the playing field and helping people come authentic with it. So if I stop and I reflect and find out where I do it 100% to the same degree, that softens it. That makes me realize, well, who am I judging them for? They're reflecting me. And then if I go at that moment when they're doing that, go to the moment where they did that, where they actually verbally criticize me, how does it help me? How did it help me in that moment? What was the benefit of that? Did it humble me a bit, make me self-reflect? Did it make me think? Did it make me study harder? Did it make me go and do my work? Make me check my references? How did it help me? If I sit down and ask what the benefits are until the benefits equal the drawback, and did I make me aware of how I was communicating? Was I arrogant? Was I puffed up? If I look really carefully, I will find that there's as many advantages and benefits of them doing it as what I thought there was disadvantages. And I only withdrew from it and didn't like it because I thought there was downsides. Once I see the benefits of it, I realize, thank you. And then it has no power over me. We don't have to be victims of what other people do to us. We can take our perception decisions and actions and change them and turn it into opportunity. The reason I'm taking this time to talk about this topic is because many people assume automatically in our society that that's bad and praise is good. But that's not true. Sometimes people put on facades of praise and they have a smile and they're really inside. It's a fake smile. And so that's superficial. And sometimes good old, you know, critique like that is just people's advantage. I remember one time I was watching a guy in a restaurant and I pulled him over on the side and I said, just for whatever it's worth, I just noticed the way you were handling that client. The client wasn't pleased. Did you see that? And they go, well, yeah, I did. I said, can you maybe consider trying this and see if that works different with him when you go back? And I gave him a response, a critical response, and gave him some feedback, and they appreciated it. I had a guy many years ago that came in to my office to try to sell me Yellow Page ads. Now, this is back in the 80s, so you can imagine there were Yellow Pages and telephone pages. And he came in and he did a presentation. And I told him, I said, you got 10 minutes, start on it. And he gave me this presentation. It was the absolute ridiculous presentation on Yellow Page ads. I was even considering maybe getting an ad until I heard him. I stopped him cold and I said, hold, stop right there. You know, that is the... that's not even a presentation on Yellow Page. That was the worst presentation I've ever seen. I said, what do you really want to do? This is not your heart. Your heart's not into this. And he goes, that bad, huh? And I said, that's ridiculous. That was a terrible presentation. I mean, I was turned off by that as you spoke. And he goes, wow. I said, what do you really want to do? This isn't what you want to do. Your heart's not here. Your soul's not here. This is not what you really want to sell. What do you really want to do? And he goes, I want to be in the restaurant business. I said, then go right now and go find a restaurant, get in the restaurant business, quit playing this game and be inauthentic, go to be yourself. He said, yeah, you're right. This isn't working. I haven't sold anything. I said, well, you're not going to sell anything the way you are. And I really critiqued him. And I said, go get in the restaurant business. And so I gave him a good slamming on that, not cruelly, but just a good wake up call. Because I can tell when people are not inspired by what they do and they deserve to get feedback. Anyway, he left the office. 8 years later, I happened to go out to lunch with my CPA, my accountant. And we just happened to go. We had a quick hour, didn't have much time. So we went to this little super salad place where you go in there and get in a line and pick up salad goods and weigh it. And then they pay by the weight. I mean, it's just a simple place. And as I walked in the place, I was with a guy named Dan, my accountant. I said, Dan, get in line, put a tray for me. I see somebody I must say hi to. I saw the guy that came into my office. And I walked over to him and he was talking to a man and he didn't notice me at first. And I was just standing there waiting for him to finish. And all of a sudden he finishes a man. The man starts to walk off. He looks at me and he goes, oh my God. I said, I good shook his hand. He gave me a hug. And he said to me, he said, no, first he said to the guy that was just walking off, he says, Joe, you know, hey, come back here. This is the guy I was telling you about. And he introduced me to his friend who happened to be apparently some manager in the restaurant. And he said to me then, he said, I have 8 franchises. This is my franchise. I have 8 of them. I own 8 restaurants. I got teary-eyed. I gave him a big hug right in his restaurant. I said, congratulations. My criticism changed the course of his life. My stepping up and giving him feedback was helpful. Criticism doesn't have to be hurtful. It doesn't have to be painful. It's if you understand what's going on, you'll see that everything that's going on in your life is trying to help you become authentic. And that's just one of many examples. I've had people critique me sometimes in the way I'm presenting things, and I learn and I get new feedback, and then it helps me in my programs. Criticism is not necessarily bad or good until you choose to it with a subjective bias. As Milton said, you can make a heaven out of a hell or a hell out of a heaven. You can sit there and be wounded by it. But the more addicted you are to praise, the more you're vulnerable and dependent on the world around you, and the more criticism is going to hurt. As long as you end up giving a causal relationship to praise, or you think, well, that's somehow making you feel good, then criticism is going to make you feel bad because you've set up in your mind a polarity instead of understanding the downsides of the praise and upsides of the criticism. I've seen that whole positive thinking movement try to go in there and try to manage people with only positive statements. And then eventually repress what you're also thinking, and you're not giving them both sides of the feedback. I had this lady that worked in my office. She was a lovely woman, and she was talking to somebody on the phone. And afterwards I said, you know, the way you spoke was amazingly articulate and just magnificent presentation on how you communicated with them. But I will just have to say, we need to get it done in a little bit quicker time. The time frame in which you're doing is not cost effective. So I gave her praise and reprimand, positive and negative, and she appreciated both. I'm a firm believer that both of them serve a purpose, and they both keep you, hone you in on the authenticity. So don't sit there and get addicted to praise and fear criticism. Go and find out how it serves you. And then look carefully. Every time you do a critical thing to somebody, your spouse usually, most, by the way, you will never criticize anybody else more than you do yourself. Every time you addict yourself to praise and puff yourself up, you're going to end up beating yourself up too. Because you're here to be authentic. You want to be loved and appreciated for who you are, but if you're puffing yourself up, you're not being who you are. How are you going to be loved for it? If you're putting yourself down, how are you going to be who you are? You're not going to be loved for it. And so your brain automatically has a feedback system. If you go up, you automatically find it. It's called the licensing effect. If you do something you think is really good for your health, you eventually eat chocolate, overeat, or drink some wine, or do something else over here to counterbalance it. You have a homeostat mechanism to get you authentic. And if you go and exaggerate yourself, you'll beat yourself up, because you know you have not being authentic. You have a desire to be loved for who you are, and so do the people around you. And so all of our feedback mechanisms of praise and reprimand are nothing more than trying to get us in equilibrium. We lift people up that are down, we pull people down that are up, and we try to get people in our hearts. Where nobody's worth putting on pedestals or pits, but everybody's worth putting in hearts. And that's really what's going down, is these are mechanisms to get us authentic, to help us communicate respectfully in a sustainable fair exchange way, where we have the most sustainable relationships, to give us an advantage. So don't get addicted to one and subjected from the other and thinking that, because if the addiction to pride is going to get you humbled, and trying to avoid reprimand is going to keep you from opportunity. You need both. So honor both. So write down the benefits of each time you've criticized and been criticized, and write down some of the drawbacks of which you've been praised, and level the playing field so you're resilient and adaptable and appreciative of both sides that life has to offer. You will never beat yourself up without building yourself up, build yourself without beating yourself up. I guarantee the elevated and low self-esteems that wobble around the true self-worth are just mechanisms to get you authentic. It's a homeostat. It's just like if all of a sudden you get hot, you know, you sweat. And if you get cold, you shiver. Those are mechanisms to get you into the perfect temperature again. They're feedback mechanisms to get you into the real you. Everything is a homeostatic feedback system in our psychology and physiology, and even our sociology, to help us become authentic, because that's where we feel loved most. That's where we give most love. And I really think that needs to be heard, because people sometimes get this idea that, I have people every weekend, the breakthrough experience, my signature program, they say, well, my mom was critical. Okay, what were you doing that was challenging your mom? And what were you doing that was arrogant and defiant? Oh yeah, I was with my friends, and they had me puffed up, and I was now challenging my mom, and she then criticized me in front of them. And so I needed humbling in front of them to get me off the pedestal with them and got me back into level playing field. So there's now a relationship with my mom. And they see it all of a sudden, they go, oh, and I think about it, yeah. And they don't want to admit their role. They don't want to see their own cause and effect. But remember, no therapy is ever complete until cause equals effect in space-time. It's not what happens out there. It's your own perception and decisions and actions of what's out there. And you're never just a victim of something going on out there. You're simply an individual that's attracting these events in your life to help you. If you see all of those events on the way and not in the way, you're grateful for life. If you see them in the way and not on the way, now you're ungrateful for your experience. So I just want to share a few moments with you on the idea of gratitude and criticism in life and how to be grateful for it in that. Because I think that that's part of the essentialness of your life. And it helps you balance your emotions. And to help you further with this, I have a free on-demand masterclass called Balancing Your Emotions for Greater Achievement. It will help you appreciate how to take whatever happens to you, praise, reprimand, and not get attached. As the Buddha says, the desire for that which is unobtainable and the desire to avoid that which is unavoidable is the source of human suffering. Don't be seeking one side and trying to avoid the other and be stuck in your amygdala like an animal and living in a survival mode. Embrace resiliently and adaptively the two sides of life that are trying to keep you authentic and honed in so you can master the skill of communicating effectively what you love in terms of what other people love and be able to be yourself. You want to be loved for who you are. It's time to be who you are. Praise and reprimand is respectfully helping you be who you are. So please take advantage of this free masterclass that I just gave you. And I look forward to seeing you next week. I hope this was stimulating to you, make you think a bit. And just know the next time somebody criticizes you, it could be an opportunity for you to do something even more profound and magnificent with your life. May you be yourself.
Well, this is just a small sample of what Dr. DeMartini has to share. But before we close off today's episode, I'd love to just remind you about the new program that Dr. DeMartini has launched called Path to Power. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/path. So that's demartini.fm/PATH. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We'll see you there.